Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
You know, the leaves what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And wow, what a week. What a week it has been. We have seen all kinds of stories, everything going all over the place. But yet, the markets continue to work their way lower. Gold continues to work its way higher. Crude oil doesn't know where the hell it wants to go, and the farmers continue to get pounded. What are we looking at here? Well, you know, I got to tell you, this is a disaster in the making. It's a disaster because we've got the Federal Reserve. And I'm not trying to bash. I really don't go set out trying to bash them, but I just can't take the ignorance and the ridiculous line or tack that they take. So here goes. The whole mess is because the Federal Reserve refuses to let markets trade freely. They feel compelled to get involved and engineer and manipulate and try to move markets in one direction or the other. Now, I am calling this the three F's, the Fed financial failure. I think that you will see that no matter what they do, there is no way out. Now, you had all kinds of opportunities to fix the system, but you chose not to. You chose the coward's way out, because you didn't want to make anybody suffer any pain. Well, what do you think that we're going to suffer? I mean, are we not going to suffer without the pain? This is the issue that will plague us as long as we are 100% Keynesian. And again, I know there's problems on the other side, so I'm not saying one is better than the other. What I'm saying is that maybe it's the year 2016, maybe it's time to revamp the entire system and the methods in which we go by. Maybe everything we do is archaic. Okay. Maybe even the federal system, the finance, the banking system, maybe that's archaic. Now, I don't really know that. Okay. Now, I have people that will say it is. I will say that people have, with the internet, it could be. And I'm not saying it. I don't have an opinion, which is unusual to me for it to begin with. However, with the advent of technology and with the way that money clears and things like that, I do believe that probably the banking system to some degree needs to be reset. I definitely believe the Fed needs to be reset because, again, they are not living, in my opinion, by their mandate of how they are supposed to worry about monetary policy, not worry about stock market direction. I still find that to be extremely troubling. To me, that is a problem. That is not what was intended. We are not supposed to be manipulating the markets, especially because of the players involved. I mean, it's owned by banks. So how do you think they're going to engineer it? Not in their favor? Really? Did you ever play Monopoly? Bank error in my favor? I never heard them say, you know, against me. And that, to me, becomes the bigger problem. Okay, you have to have a fair and equal body that has no percentage as to what happens. Okay, it's like an arbitrator. But of course, you know, this is the problem with all these systems, is that somebody can always be kind of bought off, I guess. I mean, you know, I go back to Bernie Madoff, and I guarantee you, I mean, I can't prove it, but I will stake my reputation on it that somebody else was involved in that, and somebody from inside, because there's no way he could do that. And the things that the banks are doing now. Now, look, I don't ever have pity on banks, but I do have pity on what's going on now because of all this financial engineering that we have had, because of all the unintended consequences that we are seeing, we have created a problem. And the banks have had a problem created for them. Now, partially it's their own greed because they refuse to lend out. But again, it is a tough decision when you have to take a little bit more risk and lend versus, you know, for a tight spread versus not lending. So, I mean, I get it. But at the end of the day, what do we have? We have commodities collapsing. We have the middle class not working. Oh, wait, the jobs reports are good. That's what they tell me, they're good. We know they're not good. Yeah. We've got a rent bubble. Okay. I mean, you know, nobody talks about that. I mean, I don't get enough words in that I can get it all out. The rent is in the sky. Okay. People can't afford to do anything. And that is before you eat. Okay. Think about the change in your expenses and do it yourself. You know, do a balance sheet and do a check, because you'll find that, you know, what we have now is a failure to communicate. I mean, what we have now is a bunch of people that have no common sense, that believe that theory will always work. And we all know that theory does not work. Okay, theory is okay if you're trying to give somebody a general education. It's like when I teach somebody how to trade. Okay, I can give them the theory. I can give them how it's supposed to work. But I'm not the guy in the heat of battle that's going to have to make the decision on how it's going to work. Okay? Which is why my first lesson is learn how to defend yourself first. And the Fed continues to try to, as I coined the phrase in 2010, borrow their way out of debt. Now, if you think that borrowing your way out of debt is going to work, well, if any of you have ever gone bankrupt on this station, if anybody's ever, you know anybody gone bankrupt, you cannot continue to borrow unless you can afford to pay. Now, I know that, well, maybe some of you do have printing presses now. I mean, nobody's got printing presses in their basement. So we don't have that same advantage to build and to continue to print and borrow money. Now, the problem is that everybody's doing it. So all we're doing is devaluing our currency. All we're doing is making everything worth less to do what? Okay. I know one thing about business. Okay. That in a business cycle, in a business chain, everybody from the producer or the manufacturer all the way to the retailer and everybody in between has got to be able to make money. Now, when you continue to squeeze down margins and you do what you're doing to your currency and when you do what you're doing to your overall system, you are preventing people from making money. If people are not making money, they are not going to go out and hire people. Now, isn't that a shock? Can you believe it that they actually, maybe they expect us to pay employees to do nothing? Oh, because that's what they do. Wait a second. I got it wrong. That's what the government does. They pay people to do nothing. Stay home. Okay. Now, at the end of the day, don't we have to have that meeting, that come to me meeting where, you know, we got to make hard decisions. Now, hard decisions aren't, look, they're hard decisions for a reason. But at some point, you have to say, hey, we need to fix this. And the only way we can fix it is if we let the markets fix it. Because, you know, what's amazing? People on their own, without the drama of unintended consequences, can actually figure out things. It's an amazing thing. But people actually know how to make deals all by themselves. Do you know that people actually, some people actually underwrite mortgages for other people because they can't get a loan? Do you know they have rent with the opportunity with the option to buy? We could actually figure it out by ourselves. But yet, we're not allowed to because we've got to have these incompetents running the system trying to tell us what's best for us. Okay. I don't get it. But unfortunately, it's not for me to get because, you know me, I'd love to be in charge of it. I'd straighten out this damn system. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Go to BubbaTrading.com. Check out our hedge program. Outstanding. You're missing out. That's all I can tell you. Miss the show, LibertyTalk.fm. On demand every day. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Of the season. back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, we've got all kinds of stuff going on, as I said earlier. And but you know what I hate more than anything? I hate people that are out to cheat other people. I find that very extremely frustrating, number one. And why do we want to cheat somebody? Can't we just make our money honestly? Do we have to cheat? Okay. And what I'm talking, what I'm referring to is the financial services industry has many people out there that have subscription stuff, which I do as well. Okay. But they feel compelled that they have to sell it on fear or the ridiculous. And I don't get it. Okay. Look, what do we know for a fact? If we trade, if we get involved in the market, we're going to have losing trades. So what is our first job is to learn how to defend against losing trades. Okay. Now, there is no stopping losing trades. Okay. But the objective is when you tally it all up at the end of a week or a month or a year, you made more than you lost. And that becomes the bigger story. Okay. The bigger story becomes, why do we have to peddle? You know, some guy goes on air and says 5,500 in the Dow. Now, you know, there's going to be people that are going to react to that. And they're going to get afraid. And of course, the guy making the call is going to help them solve that problem. And I'm going to say, OK, great. If you knew that, you know, then you know that we're not going straight to 5,500. You know that there's a, if we get to 5,500, there's a million stops on the way. So why do you have to create the fear? Why does somebody have to come out and say that the U.S. dollar is no longer going to be the reserve currency? Once again, sending the shrills through the spines of Americans worried about what's going to happen. OK. I mean, why is it that we can only sell on fear? Look, you come to me and I tell you straight up, look, there's going to be losing trades. The question is how do we manage the losers and how do we make up for it for the winners? That's how you trade. Okay, because there ain't no free lunch in this world. Okay, I'm telling you that right now. Okay, if you think that anybody knows the answer, and anybody, any ridiculous person thinks that they can pick the exact number or the day it's going to sell off, yeah, if you keep guessing enough times, you'll get lucky. But, you know, everybody forgets about the times, because all those people that were calling for 5,500 Dow, 6,000 Dow, this, that, and the other thing. You know what? They've been calling for 4 years. They've made that call at least 20 to 30 times each. But yet, here we still are. So if they're doing it right and they're not preying off the individual, then they're broken out of business. Okay. And some other schmuck comes up and starts making some ridiculous predictions. Okay. At the end of the day, you can only read the map, the footprint that the market gives you, and it does give you a footprint, and you can only make your best, highest probability judgment call on that footprint. And if you do that, then guess what? You're going to have a chance to make money, and you can make good money. You can make a good return on your money. You can do a lot in the markets. The markets have a lot of wonderful tools for a lot of people, okay? But if anybody guarantees you that they're going to make you rich, anybody guarantees you that they've got bazillion percent winners and all that other crap, okay? Remember the story. If it smells like blank and it looks like blank, it probably is blank, okay? I fill in the words, but I don't want to beat myself today. But if it looks too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. Because think about it for a minute, okay? If I knew exactly when the market was going to sell off, and I mean exactly, I'm not talking about, I have a pretty general idea and I'm pretty good at it. But if I knew exactly, and I knew with 100% certainty that it was going to happen, why would I tell anybody? Why would I work? I would sit and wait, and because I could tell exactly when it's going to happen, and I wouldn't have to think about it. But I can't do that, which is why I have to hedge my portfolios, my long-term portfolio, which is why I have to read the map that the markets leave behind, which is why I can go on TV and say, hey, I'm a buyer of oil and a seller of equities. Or I can say, I just want to sell the market or anything like that. Why? Because I have a basis. I have a footprint that I've identified in the market that allows me to make that statement. Now, I will trade off of that statement. You will never see me, you know, if I go on air and I do something, okay, I will never tell you something that I'm not in, okay? So if I say that I'm buying crude oil, you can bet your ass that I own crude oil. If I say that I'm selling Netflix, you can bet your ass that I'm short Netflix. So don't ever think, if I'm there, I'm not, look, I'm not selling a book of business. I don't trade for anybody but myself, okay? You know, I don't have an extra grain. I don't have a benefit by people being in or out of the market. My benefit in life is that I have the ability to share my knowledge and teach people how to take care of themselves better, and then to what degree they want to do that. I mean, I have people that want to be very active, and I can teach them how to be active. I have people that just want to be passive but want to be protected. I can do that too. Okay. But nothing comes without some cost. Okay. There is no guarantee. I can lock your portfolio up within a couple of percentage points and tell you that you will make money if it continues to go up. That I can do. But I can't tell you exactly how much you'll make on the upside, and I can't tell you the exact amount, but I can tell you within a couple of percentage points, okay, of the market. I can teach you the patterns in the futures market to be a part-time day trader, but I can't tell you they're going to work every time. And that's what bothers me. Nothing pisses me off more than when I get an email and it tells me how much money somebody's going to make for me, or a guy tells me that he made, you know, $5,000 yesterday on this one trade. And I look into the trade, and I see he traded 1,000 contracts and made a nickel. Okay. Well, at that rate, the average investor would be broke because the commissions would be more than the nickel that they make. So I'm always very leery and very protective of my students, my audience, the people that I know, because at the end of the day, I'm on the same team as you are. And I am tired. I am sick and tired of the average investor getting led down the primrose path, okay, into the valley of death, because that's where most of these people will take you, because what they're really interested in is getting your money and not worried about what happens to you. And I do find that extremely troubling in the big scheme of life, because I believe, as you know, I believe in education. I believe, and I don't mean higher education. I mean, in, you know, you want to be in the markets, then you need to learn what the markets are about, not what the balance sheet says. You need to understand how markets function. Okay. You need to understand the workings of a market. Okay. You want to go, you want to be a, you know, an electrician. You need to understand not to get electrocuted. Okay, so whatever you do, you've got to have a basic understanding of that. And I am just so tired of these ridiculous campaigns that continue to suck in the unsuspecting investor. Now we've got, of course, now that gold's hot again, you know, wait till you see the commercials coming up. Okay, oh, gold, take all your money and put it in gold. And again, I'm not against gold. I own gold. I like gold. But it should nothing should be 100% of your portfolio. Okay. You have to be diversified to survive, because when one asset class is going up, the other one may be going down. You have to be able to suffer through a drawdown without panicking and knowing that you can do that. And that, to me, becomes the bigger problem. And that's why I can't stand when I hear everybody who knows everything telling me what they're going to do, when I go, okay, great. But it's not that simple. Okay. It's, you have to understand that there is no guarantees. Okay. That's the point. There is no guarantee anywhere. Okay. The only guarantee is if you buy a piece of gold and you hold on to it forever, you'll still own the piece of gold. What the value is, I can't tell you. Okay. The only guarantee is that if you're in the markets, you will make money. You will lose money. Sometimes you make more than you lose. Sometimes you lose more than you make, but if you do it properly, you will be able to grind it out. Okay. But that's where the hedging stuff comes in, and that's where everything else comes in that we do. But at the end of the day, don't be one of the unsuspecting. Don't believe in the hype that you read, because I'm telling you, It's a bunch of crap. You got any questions? Email me anytime you want. Show me anything you want. I'm happy to look at it because I believe in it. I believe in you. I believe in the radio station that airs my show, LibertyTalk.fm, every day on demand. You can get that, my show, on demand. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I'll be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And you know, I've been bitching pretty good today, so I'm going to keep going. Nah. So, you know, yesterday was a very busy day in the markets, obviously, and I was on call like a doctor, okay? But I did do, I was on Cavuto on Fox and After the Bell and a number of other things, but I wanted to share with you because I'm really getting irritated with this oil and market story, which is not a story. Here is partially my view of what's going on, and I will come back afterwards, and because obviously I don't get enough time all the time to say it all. But here is me on Neil Cavuto yesterday.
Stocks turn around. It's an uncanny sort of a fixation at the hip here. Todd Horowitz, Average Joe Options. Why is that? And it still continues. Why is that? Will we ever be able to break it? What do you think?
Hi, Neil. First of all, I don't agree with that theory. I believe that oil and the markets are not connected. I think that they're totally different. In fact, I would be a buyer of oil here and still a seller of the markets. The whole problem comes back down to the financial engineering that has been done by a Fed that has no common sense and is fairly incompetent at the job that they're doing, not putting the money in correctly. The cheap gas that we thought everybody was going to save and spend, well, unfortunately, they're not making enough money to pay their bills, so the money they're saving on gas, all doing is paying their regular everyday bills and learning how to eat. The middle class is still in a recession from 2008 because this is the same credit bubble that we've never come out of. No matter what they want to say, no matter what reports we hear, we aren't making enough money. We have no real growth, so we're not producing jobs. Look at commodities. They're down at 18-year lows in a general spec. So
worries me, because I say when they drop to the degree they have, and I love low gas prices, low interest rates as much as anyone, but I'm wondering if it's a deflationary environment. I wonder if it's a sign of what's going on in Europe and their banks, and you know, they're just bleeding cash, whether there is something bigger going on here of global deflation, whatever you want to say. What is it?
There is something much bigger, and that has to do, when you try to manipulate and you try to engineer a market to do what you want it to do, and you try to kick the can down the road trying to solve a problem later, those problems eventually come to roost. And here's what we have now. We allowed all the banks and the companies to buy back all their stock at cheap money. We allowed everybody to fluctuate out. We allowed the banks to get all their money back from the bad lending decisions they made. Then we poured on regulations on top of these banks to stop them from lending. So now you've got banks
banks are in trouble because interest rates aren't high enough because they can't lend because they can't get enough return. So they're going to take the money and give it back to the full faith and credit of the United States government. So the whole problem has been built by the engineering job that the central banks around the world have done, including Japan, including Mario Draghi, including Janet Yellen, Ben Bernanke before him, and even Greenspan was the start of all this. And that's where these problems come in. You cannot push problems away. You need to address them. And if you admit you have a problem and address it, you're going to continue to have those problems, and they're going to get a lot worse as we go forward.
Real quickly, I did want to get your thought on this notion that we overdo it on the sell side, or that especially when it came to banks. I was noticing overnight with what was going on with Asian banks and European banks, and that to me, I don't want to tie the two together because it's very different times with the meltdown where they sold first, really examined the fundamentals later. And that is this sell-off in financial shares seems very disproportionate to what's actually going on with the banks they represent.
I would agree with that. I think that we tend to overdo it. I think you have a tendency to have people panic and they run for where they can go first and they start dumping whatever they can. I think that they have been overdone, but they do have some serious issues here and they need to be solved. And the only way to really solve them is to meet the problem head on, start raising rates and let the economy do what it does. But we need free markets and price discovery. Let the markets price themselves and not have the Fed worry about pricing the markets.
Todd Horowitz, thank you very much, my friend. Good having you.
So that was my take on oil. As you know, I went right away from oil because I said that the problems were caused by an outside party who had nothing to do with it. And of course, that is true. Okay, you can say whatever you want. That is the facts. The facts, Jack. Okay, so then they kept me down. I wasn't going downtown at all, but they kept me downtown for a little bit longer. And then after the bell came and I was on again, and of course we know that the hot topic is oil. So here's me with David Asman on a similar topic, and you can get my response here and then I'll clean them all up at the end. Here we go.
Trading.com. He's watching off in the CME. Todd, let me read you the headline that changed the news on oil. It changed the news on the markets. We went from a 400-point down on the Dow to about 200 points down. The headline says OPEC members are ready to cooperate on a cut. Do you believe that headline?
Hi, David. I don't believe it. It doesn't really matter. The markets hang right down to a level of support. I was actually doing a live call when that happened. I said, here's a spot that the market should balance. And 5 minutes later, out came the news. This has become a much bigger story, but it's really the story about the financial engineering and the Fed. You're going to go, oil is a buy down here at some point. It may not be today here, but no matter what they do, we're going to see a better action in oil. And we want to sell the equities because the equities are in too much trouble here. The whole problem is all this engineering that's going on. It has nothing to do with OPEC or anybody else. They are not typically related.
I just want to get this clear. Are you saying that some of the price of oil has to do with the value of the dollar and all of the currency manipulations in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm saying that the financial manipulation has caused the commodity crisis, oil being part of that, that has brought the commodities into a deflationary scenario instead of the inflation that they keep trying to get us into.
Okay, well, one of the things that clearly monetary policies affect is the price of gold way up today. At one point, it was up $55 to $1,250. An ounce of gold. Gold bugs are very happy. Is this going to last?
Listen, I think gold probably has a chance to run to 1,300. I thought that once it broke from 1,140 to 1,180 over 1,200, it was going to make a move. Here it is. You had a little bit of a panic. Just like the rally we had late in the day. That was more of a short covering rally. You had a little panic in gold. Yeah. Now we'll see where it's going to go. But I think it's going to be fine. I'd be a buyer. I'm a buyer of commodities, a seller of equities.
Are you a buyer of gold at 1,250?
I'm not a buyer of gold now. I was a buyer of gold. I am a buyer of other commodities and seller of the markets.
Well, I'm glad you held on to your gold. Todd Horowitz, great to see you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank Melissa. You, David.
For
Thank
more
you.
On the markets, let's bring...
And, of course, that was the information I gave them. And, of course, that's what... You know, that's what I'm talking about. I talk about that with you guys all the time. Okay. We cannot have what we have. And it goes back to the same game that we like to play. And the game is simple. Okay, leave us alone. Get the hell out of here and quit bothering me with your words of engineering wisdom, because the engineering does not work whatsoever. That is really the story. Is, you know, Janet Yellen was on the Hill for 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, And of course, I mentioned this, you know, earlier in the week that, of course, the street would be on every word that she said, whether or not she passed gas or belched. I mean, you know, we're worried about. Now, when you think about that, the probably the most powerful woman in the world, okay, that really does not have an idea of what to do next, that should be the scary thing. What should be scaring you today is not what the markets are doing. Look at the markets, you do what the markets are going to do. Okay. This is not a new story. Markets do sell off. It does happen. Okay. There is no way to avoid a market sell off. They happen. They happen all the time. Markets go into bear markets and then they come out. But you know what's funny? No matter what, no matter all the trials and tribulations, over time, they go up 9% year over year. So we can worry about that. But more of a worry is, why do we have to have an outside influence? We opened up the show talking about, should the Fed still be the Fed as we know it? And I would say probably not. You know, I'd like to know what your thoughts are, but I think that they're now archaic, as I said earlier. You know, it's funny because if you talk about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, well, it's really no longer an industrial average, is it? Okay. I don't know how many manufacturers left in there, but not money. Okay. Now, you would think with all of this great stuff that everybody wants to go to oil and talk about oil and the connection, why are the transports down at 4-year lows? See what I'm saying? See, it's not logic. We can't logically make the connection. And that becomes, I think, the bigger problem. When you can't put the dots together because of the system, how are they going to fit? So you can't make that same comparison, because at the end of the day, it's not correct. So when the dots don't fit, which they don't fit now, which is why we have trouble, which is why our farmers are starving. Okay. You know, again, don't get me wrong. They have good years too, but there's no reason for it. If you leave everybody to their business, there'll be a natural supply demand curve. Okay. If there's too many goods, prices will be cheaper. If there's not enough, they'll be higher. Now, I don't know. It doesn't get any simpler than that. And I know I'm oversimplifying the basic problem. But I know that if I'm going out of business, there ain't nobody there bailing me out. And quite frankly, I'm tired of having my tax dollars go to bail everybody out. Okay? I'd rather have the money myself. That's the way I look at it. I don't know about you, but my view is that, hell, I want the money. Why should I keep giving it up? Okay? So, you know, we need to make a lot of adjustments. We need a lot of things changed. But America, God bless America, still the greatest country in the world. And it is my home and I love it, but I want it to be better. And really, I don't really care as much as for myself. I want it better for the kids, my kids, my grandchildren, or hopefully come someday, your kids and the rest of us, because at the end of the day, I want to leave it better than I got into it. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich. You ever miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. Check it out. Always there for you. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich. I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich with you, and it's been a while since we had our old friend on, old Bill Whittle. Let's go hear what old Uncle Bill's got to say, Mr. Bill Whittle.
Well, our friend and mutual patrone, Instapundit Glenn Reynolds, who's a regular contributor here at PJTV, wrote a terrific and horrifying article entitled Washington's Culture of Corruption Rots On, in which he outlines the power of the immortal federal bureaucracies. They're much like cancer cells, really, and that they multiply and metastasize and grow and You can talk about treating them all you want to, but you just simply can't get rid of them. For example, I pointed out a year or two ago that NASA, once my most beloved organization on planet Earth, had the same budget in real dollars as they had back in 2006, the only difference being that in 2006 they were flying 4 space shuttles, and last year they didn't fly any, because while NASA can provide outreach to Muslims praising them for their scientific achievements, America's space agency, for the first time since 1961, cannot put an American into space anymore. Now, fortunately, we have with us here Steve Green and Scott Ott. We filled out all of the prerequisite forms and we paid the appropriate licensing fees. So now that they're in with us, let's see how bad this kudzu has gotten. Gentlemen, in his article, Glenn recounts a grim milestone. It's been 1,000 days since the IRS story first broke. You'll remember that the IRS systematically investigated and withheld 501c3 status to Tea Party organizations while routinely granting them to left-leaning organizations. Now, despite high-ranking IRS official Lois Lerner taking the Fifth Amendment and hundreds of computers mysteriously vanishing or having their hard drives erased, she was placed on administrative leave, and then she was given a $42,000 bonus and then retired. But as Glenn Reynolds points out, if you think someone like Donald Trump can fix all of this, you may be in for a shock. Quoting Bloomberg's Megan McArdle, who writes, "Anything that gets done by Washington must be done by the civil service. These folks are lifers. You can't fire them. Because of the above-mentioned legislative compromises required, you also can't push a bill through that will let you fire them. And they, not the president and not the cabinet secretaries, are the folks who do most of what government does. The president can wave his hands like Jean-Luc Picard and say, make it so. But if they don't wanna, they ain't gonna." So, Scott, I think you might say that the government and the people's reaction to the IRS scandal was kind of a dry run for the Clinton email scandal. Do you think the American people are now gotten so cynical that they've given up on the rule of law completely from the government?
Well, I think some of them see it that way. Those who would, you know, kind of come from your side of the aisle see it that way. Others don't see it as a problem whatsoever. And in fact, what they see as a problem is the idea that you would fire anybody from the government, because we don't want people to be jobless and homeless and stuff like that. I mean, these are public servants who've given up so much that they could have had in the private sector in order to serve the public. So I think that, you know, there's a divergence of opinion in the United States about what this exactly means. But I have brought up this very point numerous times when people told me what a great blessing a constitutional term limits amendment would be if we were to term limit Congress, for example. And I said, look, what happens is when you term limit Congress, all the people who actually do the work of Congress stay there. They don't, you know, when your congressman leaves, his staff moves on and works for another congressman. They never leave. They're there perpetually. It's the perpetual bureaucracy that we have to address. And we need to start getting a system back in place where these people are held accountable for their actions. And maybe we have to term limit the bureaucrats.
Yeah, it used to be when somebody took office, they brought in, I mean, back in like the 1800s, early 1900s, guy get elected senator, he would bring his people with him. What if maybe he was an oil baron or something? He'd bring his staff with him. Everybody who worked for the previous guy was fired. That's how things actually changed and got done there. Steve, Glenn points out in this article that this doesn't have to happen by conspiracy and secret order, because virtually all civil service workers are Democrats, and they see no problem at all going after small government Republicans who want to take away their iron rice bowl of lifetime employment and deluxe benefits. They simply hive mind their way into these kind of abuses, don't they? You don't have to have this giant order coming down from Obama or anybody else.
No, you really don't. You know, that about 100 years ago or so, the progressives did two terrible things to this country, and they were just getting started. And the first and obvious one that everybody knows about is the income tax amendment. And the other less obvious one, because it sounds like such a good idea, was reforming the civil service. You know, it used to be our government was small because it couldn't raise that much money. 40% of Washington's revenue used to come from liquor excise taxes, and the rest mostly came from things like import duties and various fees. And so Washington couldn't get very big because there just wasn't all that much money it could raise. Right. And with the adoption of the income tax amendment, Washington's ability, well, and also I should say the Federal Reserve, Washington's ability to either raise money by sucking the life out of people or to simply create money out of thin air, which the Fed has the authority to do, Washington can grow to enormous size, and it is enormous size. It's up to almost $4 trillion a year, and it would be even bigger. It would be huger than that if we hadn't gotten a GOP Congress sworn in 2011. 2011 to thwart all of these big spending plans that President Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid had and continue to have. But reforming the civil service was such a subtle way to screw the country, and I'm not kidding about this. Bill, you say a senator would come in with his own people as soon as he got elected and get rid of the dead weight from the other guy. Well, you know what? Presidents used to engage in what was called patronage. A new president would get sworn into office, and he'd fire all the old federal bureaucrats, and he'd bring in his patrons, his cronies. And okay, maybe that's not such a great deal. However, it's much better, believe it or not, than having this permanent civil service because, yeah, they were incompetent. Yeah, they were corrupt. But it was a new group of corrupt and incompetent people every 4 years or every 8 years, depending on how often we change presidents. And so you didn't get these guys with permanent careers, with huge benefits, being unfireable and feeling confident in being unfireable that they can screw us over. And so we have this vast government with this professional bureaucracy that nobody can get rid of, and it's all thanks to the Democrat and Republican progressives of 100 years ago. We're just saddled with this beast now.
That's right. Exactly right. You may get a new Republican president, and he'd bring in his cronies, but they'd be Republican cronies. And if you got tired of Republican administrations, you get a Democrat, he'd bring his cronies, but they'd be Democratic cronies.
Bingo.
They're still cronies.
New guys, just
they're
a immortal. Broom every 4 years, 8 years.
They're there forever, and they're all Democrats, and they're going to stay that way. I just want to say two things about this, because the IRS scandals a really interesting example of how this works. It wasn't like Barack Obama got on the phone and said, all right, listen, here's the deal. I want you to investigate these 501c3s for the Tea Party. Barack Obama made his politics very clear. Barack Obama made it very clear he's not a fan of the Tea Party. Lois Lerner is ideologically aligned to Barack Obama, and so she made certain things happen and certain things happen. But basically, it came down to large numbers of individual people working on their own initiative to do what they wanted to do for the sake of their own jobs, which means destroy Republicans as much as possible. Now, I know what the consequences of comparing all of this to the Nazis are, but there's a very profound example here that I want to bring up. I'm not trying to compare the Democrats to the Nazis. The Nazis had nothing like that kind of money to work with. But what used to happen in the Third Reich was this. Adolf Hitler was actually an extremely lazy man and a very, very poor administrator. He laid out, just let me know if any of that rings a bell, he laid out a series of philosophical positions and broad objectives, and then everybody in the pyramid structure below him did something that a historian called working towards the Führer. There was a guy who made a speech during the Third Reich who said, it's our job to work towards the Führer. We know what Adolf Hitler wants. It's our job to work towards what he wants rather than waiting for him to send the orders down. It's exactly what's happening with our federal bureaucracy. But folks, if Lois Lerner can basically wipe hard drives clean and use the IRS as a weaponization against part of the country, and if we have the same problem now with Hillary Clinton, then we no longer have a federal government that has any respect for the rule of law whatsoever. It doesn't matter who gets elected. And unless we do something about this, this social compact, the idea that we agree to be governed by these people because they're beholden to the same laws that we are, and if we don't like them, we can throw them out. When that is no longer true, then you may start to see the kind of revolution that's really going to matter. Because if the big taxpaying middle of this country, the law-abiding center that makes everything work, if we decide to go out on strike, it's going to be a whole nother ballgame. And that
is the way it is, and that is what happens when you do things like that. And that'll take us to the end of a great week and a great show. And as always, thank you so much for being a part of it. I enjoy every minute of it, and always look forward to sharing time with you all. And make sure that you, if you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm. Always there for you on demand. This has been the Bubba Show. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your time. Enjoy time with the family. You want to look at something, go to BubbaTrain.com. You can read some of the great articles. Other than that, everybody have a great weekend. This has been the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba. We'll see you back here next time, same station. The Bubba Show.
Summer, you can see it fading fast. So you grab a piece of something that you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.